When I came up with, tried to come up with a name for this event, I came up with the Slowlio. I'm still kind of questioning that. That's a combination of San Luis Obispo and Olio, which is a gathering of artistic types, creative types. It just hasn't sat well, so I guess it's not too late to change the name to something else. I just can't think of anything. But then there's the second part, Gathering of True Stories of Linnaeus. And actually, I don't know if our next storyteller remembers that he's actually the one that coined that phrase. Dean and I have been friends and co-storytellers for many years. We both do folktale-type family storytelling as well. Me on street corners talking to myself. Dean actually does it for a living. Camp Keep as a naturalist out at camp out at Montaña de Oro, and so we're so glad to have him again tonight. Please welcome Dean Thompson.
When I was in seventh grade, my mom signed me up for after-school ballroom dance lessons. Yeah, you can tell how this is gonna go, right? Needless to say, I was not happy about it, okay? I mean, first of all, I was kind of a shy kid at the time. Secondly, girls kind of terrified me at that age. And finally, who ballroom dances in 1971? I mean, you want to know who ballroom dances in 1971? I'll tell you, Squares. That's who ballroom danced in 1971. Uncool people, all right? Cool people did not have pre-organized steps where you hold your partner a certain way and move a certain way. No. Cool people danced freestyle. Think Woodstock. Think Grateful Dead. That's how cool people danced, okay? So, needless to say, on the first lesson, I was basically an uncooperative jerk. So much so that the teacher kicked me out of class and told me not to come back. And so I walked home. And when I walked into the door, my mom looked at me and she said, "What are you doing here? You have dance lessons." I said, "Not anymore. I got kicked out." She said, "Oh no, you did not." And she walked me back to the car, marched me back to the car, and drove me right back to the school. And I stayed for the rest of the lessons. I might have taken one or two other lessons, but she quickly realized it was a lost cause, and she relented, and I never finished ballroom dance lessons, which, in retrospect, I blew it. I mean, I didn't know at the time. I didn't know what dancing, having a good dance skills would do for me, to have that tool in my arsenal when I would go dating or go to music club, be able to go up to a woman and go, "Hey, want to go dance?" and go out there and just dazzle her with my dance moves. I didn't know. I didn't understand. It was, you know, it's water under the bridge right now, you know? And I didn't really get or understand how music could move you until I started going see live music. When I started to go see live music and go to music festivals or go to house parties or house concerts and live music, that's when I figured out music can just move your body and your soul. I mean, to be on the floor in front of the stage when the band is tight and everybody's grooving to the same music, you're surrounded by 100 people, everybody's bobbing and weaving, and you're hanging on every note that the band is playing, you're making eye contact with the band members, eye contact with the people in the audience, everybody's moving, the lyrics are resonating with your soul, everybody's singing at the top of their lungs with the band, it's just the best. It's so fun. I mean, I totally understand why puritanical and conservative religions are a little opposed to this music and dancing thing, because it is a very moving, primitive, primal, almost ritualistic experience, especially if you're dancing with somebody you like. I mean, if you're dancing with somebody you're courting or you're dating, or you're dancing with a lover and the music's just right and you're swaying back and forth and you're gazing in each other's eyes and you're both slightly intoxicated with each other, okay, and maybe with some other stuff as well, and it's a warm evening and you're under the light of a full moon and you both have barely any or no There's all kinds of dancing in the world. I mean, we dance around awkward subjects. We dance through life. You know, there's this whole social dance we do. We dance around topics of conversation. We dance for war. We dance for peace. We dance for rain. We dance for the sheer joy of it. Little kids dance before they go to the bathroom, okay? We dance for celebrations. We dance for rituals. We dance for exercise, competition. And so for some of us, dancing is just in us. It's in our DNA. I know it was for my daughter. My daughter would dance before she could walk. We had a little bouncy chair she'd sit in there, and she played her favorite song, Manfred Mann. It's the song that went, there she goes, just a walking down the street, singing doo-wah-dee-dee-dee-dee-dum-dee. And she would be rocking back and forth, and a little bouncy chair would move right across the floor. And then when she could actually start walking, when she was a toddler, she would dance to anything. She would dance to the rhythm of the dishwasher. I mean, anything. She was just dancing. For some of us, it's just in us, you know? One of my favorite rituals that involved dancing and children happened on the beach in the summertime. Many years ago, there was once a man who would tell stories on the beach just south of the Cayucas Pier. At the end of the day, as the sun slowly set into the wave-tossed sea, he and other invited guests would share folk tales and true tales and songs and stories around a fire that he built just above the high tide line. The dancing came later. The dancing happened after the stories were told, after the sun had gone down, and after we had watched the herons return to their roost, after the hot chocolate was served and the marshmallows were roasted, after the last of the sandy children with cold feet, who were up way past their bedtime, were shuffled off to the cars and driven home by their parents. And the only children remaining were Kirk and Patty's two daughters and our kids, and maybe one or two other local random beach kids. And the ritual would start when the fire, down to its last coals, was shoveled into an old dryer drum and hauled down to the surf to be drowned. And as the coals died there in the water, Kirk would fill two big white 5-gallon buckets with seawater and haul them up from the shore. And this is the point that the kids were all waiting for. Under the orange glow of the vapor lights lining the beach, Kirk would take the white bucket, and he would just dump it right onto the fire pit. And immediately, the hot sand and ash would explode into a sizzling cloud of steam that would rise into the starlit sky. And then the children would dance. And they would just dance for the sheer joy of it, laughing and cavorting through the cloud to the tune of the ocean's song drumming on the sand. Stories around the fire, Kirk, man, that was a good dance. Pacific Storytelling Festival, also a good dance. Both of them had their last dance, and here we are at Slolio's last dance. But you know what? I have a sneaky suspicion there's another dance coming up. And I think I'm going to speak for everybody here that when that other dance comes up, don't forget about me. I hope you invite me to dance with you again. Thank you.
Those great memories. Thank you so much, Dean. These lace smell so good. Oh my gosh, I wish I can just envelope all of you in this beautiful fragrance that I'm experiencing right now.